Is this a happy Wednesday? Is this a happy Wednesday, John?
Oh, hey, Brian, happy Wednesday.
Yeah, thanks.
It is a happy day. It's the middle of the week.
Yeah, hump day.
Yep. Sounds good. That always helps.
To get over the hump?
Yep. Definitely. It's all downhill now.
Do you subscribe to the, I mean, obviously uphill, downhill, but is the weekend preferable to the weekdays for you?
Not anymore. Since we're both retired, not if anything, there's get-togethers on the weekend because all our friends that are still working, that's when they have free time. But for us, it doesn't really matter. Not anymore, anyway.
But the weekends are special because you get together with friends.
Yeah. So that part's good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how did that race this weekend go? The Hapalua, is that what it was called?
Yeah. That was very interesting in a number of different ways. It was a big field, a lot of young people, I would say 80% or more young people, 20s, 30s.
Wow. And why is that? Do you have any thoughts on why that is the way it is?
Well, I think running races is a young person's game.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You know, if you see somebody that's got gray hair, usually they're slender.
Younger.
No, they're slender. They look tough. They're outward.
Yeah.
You know, they're usually introverted.
Energetic.
Yeah, but that's not what comes across. What
always
comes across to me is they don't need a training program to go out and train. They've got the discipline. And,
yeah.
You know, so I don't really look at those people too much. But the weather was good. I would say quite good. And I had how many people in the race? About six, maybe, or seven. And my sense is that they did very well. They were very well prepared.
Oh, good.
This is
that always helps.
Hang on 1 second, John. Hi, Robert.
Hey, Brian, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. Oh, I thought it was.
Hey, Robert.
Hey, how's it going?
That's John saying.
Good.
Hey, John. Yeah, I just wanted to say everybody hi. I'm just going to jump on and off. I need to go get my daughter.
Ah, bringing her to your house?
Well, I'm going to pick her up from a babysitter's and then take her to her house.
Her mom's house.
Working, and
got
so
it.
I'm going to watch her tonight. I needed her to go to a babysitter so I could rest before I actually get her.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You sound better than the other night, Robert. And the fact that you're picking up your daughter, that's probably a good sign, right? I mean, you're coming back a little bit?
I am. And I have gone back into work for about a half a day yesterday and today. And come back home.
Cool.
Yeah, give me that option.
Uh-huh.
So, slowly getting back together.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not going to keep you. John and I and Jerry, when he shows, are going to talk about sensible eating. Right. And that it'll be like preparatory for the thing on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
I downloaded that and printed it off, so I'm doing my homework there.
Good, great. Okay, my friend, have a good evening and good time with your daughter, and we'll see you on Saturday.
Okay, thank you, Brian.
You're welcome.
Aloha. Yeah, have a good one, Robert. Oh, that was nice of him to call in.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we've got a really good team in the making here. Kathy, by the way, is not feeling well, so she probably won't show. It's funny, you know.
Is she back?
She's back, but she's not. She's sick.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm. What were we talking about, John?
The Kapalua.
Oh, yes.
Kapalua.
Hang on one second. I'm going to tell you a very interesting story. Hang on. Do you know who Jim Barrahall is?
Yeah. Well, I know who he is. Is he still the president of the marathon?
Yep, that's him.
Oh, God, how many years is that now?
Yeah, a long time. And
wow.
He's also, they put on three races a year, one of which is the Hapalua. And another of which was the, what do you call, King's Runner race, which we ran earlier as a group. And at that race, I had printed up a bunch of cards, business cards. And when people finished, I stood there and I handed out cards to people. And most people took them pretty willingly, you know. At one point, Barrahall sort of came by, and he didn't acknowledge me. J.J. Johnson came by a couple times, and I said hi to him, and we chatted just a little bit once. And then, you know, I was right in the thick of things there in terms of promoting my training. Although cards are not, you know, they're kind of easy to conceal. So for the Hapalua, I did the same thing, except I had a flyer, a half-page flyer, yellow flyer. And so, you know, about, let's say, I would say in the thick of it, in other words, right in the middle of the most people, I joined the crowd that had just finished, and it was thick with young people.
Oh, wow.
You know, they're standing in line, going quickly through to get, you know, food afterwards, a banana, malasadas, some kind of package thing. I didn't look at it very closely, but whatever. So they're giving out food, and So people are getting the food and they're walking around with their food. And usually they have food in one hand and a cell phone in the other. And sometimes they talk, they're with somebody, but a lot of times they're just kind of moving through the crowd. And I come up to them and I bow and offer them one of my flyers and I say, Honolulu Marathon Training. And, you know, if they say anything, sometimes they would say something like, oh, I'm already signed up for it. And I say, this is a training program for the Honolulu Marathon. And, but a lot of times they just take it and thank me. And so, at a certain point in this process, I printed up about 250. One of my athletes came by and I gave him a small hunk to hand out. He disappeared. And then, you know, I'd given out most of the leftovers. I still had a little hunk left, but I handed out most of them. And at this point, Vera Hall shows up with his wife. And he, I think he sees me, but what he does is, at the same time that I'm looking up, he's turning around and facing the other way. And he starts walking away from me, talking to his wife. So I continue doing what I'm doing. And a little while later, the wife comes up to me and she says, I'm sorry, but you can't do that here. We don't allow
it. And who told you this?
The wife.
Who told you this?
Vera Hall's wife.
And you know her?
Yeah, I know her.
Ha! Huh.
I'm about to tell you how I know her. So I listened to her, and I say I said something along the lines of, I appreciate your point of view. I have no problem with it. And then I said, "It's I can't remember your name. She says, it's Helena. I said, yes, Helena. We met many years ago. And she knew exactly when we had met at a dinner party. A mutual friend had invited a Jim and his wife, and I think their little baby at the time. And so it was just the four adults. And anyway, she remembered the name of the lady, which I couldn't remember. And she walks away after, you know, we chit-chatted just a little bit more. She walks away and I start looking for Jim Barahal. And let's see now, we've got Jerry with us. Jerry, I'm telling John a story about the Hapalu.
Yeah, I'm listening. Hey, Jerry. Hey, John, how you doing?
It's 5:34, so let's start the workout officially. And it'll be same as the other night, about 60, 70 minutes with a little bit of stretching in about 10 minutes. So I had a hunch I knew where he went. There's a tent for the mucky mucks, the high mucky muck types. You know, people on the committee maybe, or, you know, like Jim Barahal.
Yeah.
And so yeah. I walked towards the tent. Sure enough, he's in there. And he, I think he sees me because he walks out of the tent and confronts me with, you know, reasons why I can't do what I'm trying to do. Well, my marathon training. And it's
and what?
Go ahead.
And why can't you hand out stuff?
Because I'm not paying, and because they're rules and procedures, and I'm flaunting the rules and procedures. in a nutshell. And of course, that's true. And so I acknowledge what he's saying, and then I offer him a flyer. And what do you suppose he does?
Takes it.
Takes it?
Just looks at it.
I'm sorry, John, what do you think?
He just looks at it.
No, neither. He shoves it away towards me.
From you?
Towards me, yes. He shoves it away, and he walks by me. And so I decide foolishly, I think, to follow him. So after a moment, I realize he's heading towards the porta potties. And he knows I'm behind him because I said something like, "I'm a great guy," or something like that. But he doesn't. He just keeps on walking, and he gets the porta potty, and he goes in. And at that moment, I realize that one of my former athletes, one of my group leaders, one of my longtime sort of associates, and his wife / girlfriend are standing in front of the porta potty. About two or three down from where Jim just went in. And so I walked up to them and I started chit-chatting with them. And so we're chit-chatting about in the morning and you know, other kinds of little chit-chat stuff. And after a little bit, Jim comes out and he pauses like a half a beat to look towards and Bill and Susan, but you know, hardly slows down and just keeps on walking back. I didn't follow him. I didn't look. What I did do was after I said goodbye to Bill and Susan, I just went over to the the Honolulu Zoo parking lot where I had left my motorcycle and, you know, got on the motorcycle and went home. I'd had enough. And, you know, I'd given out enough flyers that, you know, if there was going to be or is going to be any kind of interest shown, I'll find out. And so far, I haven't had any interest shown. So that's my story.
That's interesting.
Interesting story. Yeah.
And that committee has the authority to do that?
You know.
They think they do.
Yeah. I suppose they could be bluffing, but I don't consider it a bluff. And I don't really care to test the system. I'll tell you, one of the things I'm thinking is, you know, I'll just ask them, how much would it cost to put a flyer in everybody's packet? You know, that would do what I want it to do.
Oh, yeah. But they'd probably charge you.
Yeah. That's why I'm asking them how much they would charge me.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that's such a big deal. It's not like they don't know you. It's not like you're trying to take over the marathon. I mean, jeez. Huh.
No, Bear Hall is, in my humble opinion, he's paranoid.
Of the competition?
He's paranoid of people who don't conform to his, way of doing things. It's mostly perception, you know. He perceives me as being a mid-pack Roadrunners Club. That was one of the things he told me. He's saying, you know, mid-pack has a booth at the, what do you call it, the packet pickup, you know. How come you're not in there with them? And, you know, the reason is that I'm not with mid-pack.
Yeah.
And I don't want to ask them or be beholden to them. And I really don't want to spend the weekend at the expo. I mean, I've done that before with the Great Aloha Run, and, you know, I'm not ready to do that again. Putting flyers in the packets would serve my purpose. Anyway.
That would work, though. It would save you a lot of trouble.
Yeah. And then, you know what I might do? I would just walk around without having a flyer. I would just walk around and talk to people, because I talk to a lot of people. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That some that related or that would be clients in terms of the marathon training, but a lot of the people I talk with were, you know, people I knew from, you know, just running or whatever.
Yeah.
They're very nice people, and I had a great time talking to them. And I think I would, after a while, I would garner a reputation, and people would start recognizing who I am. And if they wanted to talk to me, they would.
Oh, yeah. Well, you've been around long enough.
Yes, but what I told you earlier applies here. Most of the people that are in that crowd.
Oh, younger.
They're all young. They're all young enough to be my grandchildren.
So you think those ones in that age group, they wouldn't be interested in a training program?
No, they would be. When I'm giving those flyers out, I'm very selective. I only go for people that fit a certain profile. And it ranges from, you know, sort of like Walker, overweight Walker, you know, to a pretty good athlete. But I think the common thing is that I look at them and I think, that's a nice person. And, you know, they either exude happiness, or their appearance is nice and appealing to me. You know, that I would want them to be in the training. You know, why somebody is not happy like you, John? I mean, I'm not the happiest person in the world, but I know how to choose happy people.
Yeah.
So
is there a way you can reach that age group?
I'm sorry?
Is there a way you can reach that age group?
Besides putting the flyers in the...
Yeah. because it would seem to me like something shorter, you know, like a 10K race is one thing, but then you get somebody thinking about running a marathon.
Yeah, I had a lot of flyers to quite a few people who, you know, they just kind of shook their head and laughed, you know, like, who, me, do the marathon, you know? And I would always say, I would say something like, yeah, you could do it. You know, you come up, you'll do it. And
if they suck with the training.
Yeah. Or I say something like, yeah, you could walk it. You know, I've got walkers in the training, you know, and, you know, just make them believe. Believe. They don't.
It's pretty daunting.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, let's hang on a second, John. Let's.
Yeah.
A little bit of stretching and then we'll move on to the subject of the evening. The three of us will handle sensible eating. If you're at a place to begin, let's start with arm swinging. Arm swinging back and forth in front of you. And then up and down, up and down. Up and down, up and down, four or five more. And then relax. Hold your hands in front of you, twist behind you. Feet together, arms straight up. Lean to one side. Tighten your butt muscles. Lean to the other. Relax your arms. Look to the side, up and down. Look to the other side, up and down. Shoulder shrugs. Go the other way. Feet about shoulder width apart. Neck rotations. Relax your shoulders, back and down. Go the other way. Spread out a little bit more. Keep your back straight. Twisters. Twisters. Stay within your comfort zone. Stay within your comfort zone. Shoulders back and down. Go one way, then go the other way. Relax. Spread out some more. Your back straight, bend over and do groin stretch, side to side. And then stand up. If you're at a place where you can do a quad stretch, hanging onto something for balance, lift one leg and hold the ankle. See about bringing the knee towards the center line several times, 4 or 5 times. Relax. Then with it near the center line, bring it back. Bring the knee back towards your other knee. 4, 5, 6 times. Relaxed. And then change legs. Hold the ankle, not the foot. Bring the knee in towards the center line. And then relax, bring it back. And then drop the leg and do calf stretch. Calf stretch. Back leg, the knee locked, straight back leg. Shift your hips forward, that hip, same leg. Shift that hip forward. Keep the back leg and foot straight ahead. So the hip now is in I believe it's called the flexed position. Anyway, change legs, back leg straight, knee locked. And then shift the hip forward, shift forward. Relax, push, no need to strain, no need to press, no need to feel pain, just relax, forward. You do it many times over a period of, let's say, 3 or 4 weeks, and it becomes easier. Okay? I should say with the walking part of the workout. I want to talk a little bit about the sensible eating, the context of this program. I think the main thing to start with is that I want to invent a new course called Sensible Eating. And I've never taught this particular course before. So I'll need help to invent it. And I'm going to look to you guys to help. Tonight, you'll see how that'll work. But the main thing to understand is that although this is the first time that I'm teaching this particular course, Sensible Eating, it's not the first time that I've taught new courses. I've taught new courses before over the years. I started teaching in 1979, the training process, and I've been teaching various forms for the last, you know, how many years. And then, you know, I've also written books on the training process. So, you know, the courses help the book. And so, a good course. Take it later if you want it. But right now we're working on what I'm calling sensible eating. And I can tell you from my experience of having invented other courses that there are certain, let's call them, you know, characteristics of all my courses. And the first thing is that basically an inquiry. They're an inquiry into a series of problems. Questions, issues that we want to, John, please keep your phone muted for the moment, because there's a lot of background noise coming through. So we're going to be inquiring into some questions, and I'll give you a few examples a little bit later. Another thing is confidentiality. And that means that whatever we talk about here, especially of a personal nature, we keep it in the group. Kathy and Robert, excuse me, and Sally, we're all part of the group. Then another factor is what I'll call a listen-only option, where others might be talking about certain things or sharing certain things. You can opt to listen only, but not necessarily participate or talk or share as others may be doing. Another factor is what we'll call discovering something of value. And that goes for within, you know, your own life, then within the group life, and then for future classes that might take the course. And then one last area, and that is all my courses are based on what we call or would call objective data, but often subjective. It's objective in the sense that it's measurable and scalable. And so, for instance, we can have a 5-level scale from something to something to something, 5 levels, as you'll see in a minute. So, now, the first thing that I've given you is that food inventory. And, you know, I just made that up about a day or two ago. And I printed it up today and I filled it out. And it took about 10 minutes, I think. And what I was, one of the things that I was looking for is like, which of those foods do I eat on a regular basis? Let's say very frequently. And then which do I eat very infrequently or never? And, you know, there were certain, I would say, patterns. And I could sort, you know, to see what I'm eating. And then I realized that some of those foods, like, let's say, carrots and onions and zucchini and potato and rice and barley, could all go into a soup. And, you know, quite often I have a soup for lunch or dinner, usually for lunch, that consists of all those different things. And so, you know, for instance, then I can say that I on most days I have onion. Or similarly, I can put a bunch of fruit things into into a fruit salad, what I call a fruit salad, and drown it in orange juice, and I can say then that I can that I eat at least I have some banana every day, and sometimes twice a day, because the bananas are invariably in the in that dish, which is kind of a fruit salad, a fruit conglomeration, which is very appetizing. I mean, I usually have one before I start this workout, you know, and I did this evening, no different. It's just a small bowl. And I also put steel-cut oats that I've cooked and that are in the refrigerator. So I put, couple tablespoons maybe of steel-cut oats in the small bowl of fruit salad, kind of a soup of fruit. Papaya, banana, mango, first mango of the season. Cantaloupe, blueberries mixed in orange juice. And I think I also had ginger juice, non-carbonated ginger juice from the Big Island. Get it at Costco. Anyway, so that was the second time I had that I had a much bigger bowl of it for breakfast, you know? So some things I'm eating once a day, some things I hardly ever touch. And so the question is, if you do the same inventory, which foods would you eat the most of, most frequently? And which ones would you hardly eat at all? And which foods would be which is the question. And, you know, this is not something you necessarily have to share with everyone. It's for you to figure out, you know, what is it that you're eating without doing a, you know, like a detailed food diary or log day to day. My thinking is that, you know, there's certain foods that you might eat once a month or twice a month or three times a month, you know, that are significant. You know, you're getting certain nutrients that, you know, coming in, not frequently maybe, but what we're trying to do is cover our need for certain nutrients so that we're not deficient in them. Because deficiencies cause illness. So even though you're not eating something, let's say, frequently, it may be enough to cover your need for that particular nutrient. So you get a picture now. Now, here's something, another thing that we can do. Let's say that we're trying to get a picture of how many times a week you eat certain kinds of foods that are not really on that list, but another way of thinking about food. So, for instance, how many times a week do you eat restaurant food? How many times a week do you eat fast food? How many times a week do you eat home cooked food? How many times a week do you cook or eat food that you would consider self-prepared? In other words, you prepared it yourself. You cooked it yourself. How many times a week do you eat food that's prepared by a significant other than yourself? You didn't prepare it, but you didn't go out to eat either. So somebody like a wife or a girlfriend. How many times a week do you eat leftovers? Where do the leftovers come from? Restaurant food or food that's been prepared by you or for you? How many times a week do you eat an enjoyable meal? You want to jump in on this one, John? Would you be willing to take the survey? How many times a week do you eat restaurant food in Javi?
Right.
Mm.
Restaurant food, hardly ever, because there's not a lot of restaurants where we live. I think sit-down restaurant, there's like one. So fast food, maybe a couple times a month. For the same reason, they're just not around. If there were more of them, I'd probably utilize them a lot more. So, you know, it's just because of they're just not available. It was funny when I used to work in Waimea, that's a town about 30 minutes away, and they didn't have a national fast food chain. And the first one that came into Waimea was a McDonald's. And it's right on the highway that goes through town. And for at least a couple of weeks, when you drive by there, the drive-through line was just totally backed up. And later on, I don't know if they surveyed the customers, but since that was the first fast food that had a drive-in in Waimea, a lot of people went to the fast food just to experience the fast food drive-in line. And I thought it was pretty funny, but it's actually true. If it's just not there for people to utilize, but I don't have a problem eating fast food occasionally. Oh, can you hear me, Brian?
Yes, I'm listening. What do you usually eat if you eat fast food?
A Big Mac and French fries.
Hang on.
I love McDonald's French fries.
Big Mac.
I mean, when the
French fries.
When our kids were young, usually on weekends, we'd go, you know, grocery shopping up to Waimea. And we pretty much regularly would stop at McDonald's because our whole family wanted to go there and eat. But then once the kids got bigger and high school and all of that stuff, and my wife doesn't care for fast food, so now if we go to Waimea, I'd have to go there or drop her off someplace or she'll find something else to eat. So we usually go to like a food court and they have plate lunches or Subway. And we usually do it like that. But for me, it's kind of like just moderation. You know, regardless of what you like to eat, I've kind of come into the feeling of moderation. And so now that's kind of how I approach things. Like I said, I still love McDonald's, Big Macs, and French fries, but I just try to do it in moderation.
What you're saying is it's twice a month.
Right now, or probably even less than that. Maybe not even once a month anymore.
So that would be...
A lot of it...
Go ahead, sorry.
A lot of it is just... Some of it is just not being used to eating it all the time. Like when the kids were small, we went there because the kids loved it. So it became almost like a routine. But then once the kids left the house, that routine changed.
Do you have a Coke?
But there's a plate.
Do you have a Coke, by the way, when you eat Big Mac and French fries?
Yeah, a Diet Coke. I finally was able to drink diet sodas. And now I love Coke Zero. I don't know about the other stuff in there, but I kind of was able to find Coke Zero satisfying. But that took a little while. But I really don't drink any carbonated soft drinks anymore. Not like before.
Well, you were, ambulance attendant, medic?
Oh, yeah. Then we used to eat it all the time.
Right.
Because we just had to go someplace and take, you know, something that you could get quickly and take it with you in a bag. So that was a major part of the shift.
Right. Tell me about home cooking, John. Who do you do home cooking?
Vicky probably does 75% of the home cooking. And I do about a quarter. I like to cook on the grill. So if we ever have something that goes on the grill, I usually take care of that. But because there's no place to eat, we kind of have to eat at home. There's no other place. So some of it's by necessity. Because ever since...
Go ahead.
I've known Vicky, she doesn't eat red meat. I mean, and that's been like over 30 years because her story is she grew up on a dairy farm and one of her sisters, there were like six in the family. One of her sisters was highly allergic to seafood. So the mom never brought like fish sticks or, you know, anything like that. And because it was a dairy farm, their freezer was packed to the top with cuts of beef. And chicken was something that they ate, but not a lot because they had free beef because of the farm. And I guess when she moved away, she was so tired of eating so much beef that she just stopped eating it. Like if we go someplace and eat like chow mein, you know, something like that, and they sprinkle pork over it, bits of pork, she'll eat that. But I mean, I've never seen her eat a steak. And I love red meat. I love having a steak. So that's helped me a little bit.
Not
like a lot of times on the weekend. Yeah, I'll have a steak and she won't have it, but I still love red meat. I just try to moderate it a little bit more. Because at this point, I don't want to deny myself the satisfaction, so I just moderate it, cut back. And for me, that seems to work moderately well.
Do you ever have leftover steak?
Oh, yeah. Because usually when we cook, we make enough so we have leftovers and we just cook more. And then the next day or a couple nights, we'll finish it up for dinner. When we make dinner, we rarely make just enough for that one meal. We always make extra. Because we got to cook it anyway. So to cook a little more is easier than repeating it the next time for a smaller amount.
Would you say that you eat leftovers 50% of the time or more or less?
Yeah, I would say so. Because I would say the bulk of the meals we do cook, we have leftovers, or we make leftovers.
So you're eating, you're only cooking then about half the time, or preparing half the time and eating leftovers the rest of the time?
Yeah. Maybe that not that many leftovers, but or we'll just cook something different. Like we eat a lot of chicken and chili chicken, and I like pork. And she'll eat pork, but not a lot. But she won't eat red meat, or she doesn't eat red meat. But like I said, I love a steak.
So one of the things that, one of the takeaways here is that in your case, you and Vicky make certain accommodations for one another's eating habits, but you definitely take one another's preferences into account. It sounds like, in other words,
yeah,
it's almost a constant, would you say, accommodation of some sort or another?
Mostly just with meat products. Other kind of stuff like pastas and salads, that stuff,
pretty much shared.
Yeah. There's no accommodation. It's mostly just beef or red meat. And she doesn't eat a lot of like spam musubis or Portuguese sausage and eggs, bacon. She'll eat some of it, but not nearly as much as I do. But then again, it's like more moderation, not all the time.
In your case, you mean?
Yeah. And that seems to work out pretty well for us. Like she'll buy bacon and for breakfast. I'll still have maybe one piece and I'll have three pieces kind of thing. But she'll buy it and she'll eat a little bit of it. I would say the, as far as meat products, the thing we eat the most is chicken, by far, together.
And the last question is, or there may be others, but the last on the list here is, what percent would you say of the time you really enjoy the meal or the meal that you're eating?
If anything, it would be dinner, because we usually kind of hang out more during dinner. Sometimes lunch and breakfast are just on the go. So it's more or less that breakfast is to eat more just to get it over with. We're dinner time, you know, it's the end of the day. And we just spend more time with dinner.
Would you say the dinner meal is more of a social meal and that's why you enjoy it? Or I'm talking about the food now. You know, which meals or how, what percentage of the meals that you eat do you enjoy because of the food itself?
Well, I enjoy the food. So I would say, what percentage of the meal that I enjoy the food itself? I would easily say 2/3 of it. Because if I didn't like it, I wouldn't eat it.
Which raises an interesting question, John. I mean, what do you eat that you don't enjoy?
Not a whole lot.
You want to revise your 66%?
Some stuff I eat, like, I try not to eat a lot of potato chips and Fritos, but I love them, you know.
Yeah, I hear
so
you.
If I eat it, I mean, I definitely enjoy eating potato chips. I just try not to eat the whole bag anymore.
Okay, we're kind of digging here a little bit, but I still am not quite clear. I mean, you don't, let's say, you enjoy eating potato chips. So you could say that that's an enjoyable meal. It may not be the best meal for you, but you enjoy eating Fritos. I do too. I mean, those are the orange ones, right? Or no, Fritos. I know what Fritos are. Yeah, they're oily, chippy. What do you call?
Yeah, corn chips.
Corn chips, right? Then there's the orange ones. What are they called?
Orange ones. Cheetos.
Cheetos, right? Shaped like a kind of like a club.
Yeah.
Cheetos.
Great. I mean, like potato chips and Fritos. I don't eat that just as a meal. Usually it's lunchtime with a sandwich. That's primarily when I eat, Fritos and chips, is to have it with a sandwich. So like dinner time, I don't think I eat Fritos and chips during dinner.
How often do you eat chips like that a week?
Chips?
Yeah.
A week, maybe in 1 week, maybe 3 times a week.
Where do you get them from? Store? Does Vicky pick them up or what?
Both of us. Both of us get it, because she'll eat chips.
Uh-huh.
Not a lot, but she'll eat them.
Where do you go for groceries, by the way?
There's one store where we live.
Down the bottom.
Like the main grocery. Yeah, that's like the main grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
And we go to Costco in Kona fairly regularly and just buy bulk because we have a big chest freezer. So we can buy bulk and then we just freeze it. And Waimea has a Big Island grocery chain. So if we go to Waimea, we'll always go to that supermarket. But the store here in town doesn't have the variety. And the fresh stuff isn't always that good. But, you know, things like bread, chips, you know, stuff like that, vegetables, you can pretty much buy anywhere.
Well, that's been very interesting. I want to get Jerry started. John, you brought in a lot of interesting sidelight stuff that I thought, you know, was valuable. And I don't know that we have enough time to let Jerry range as widely as you did, but
you know, thanks a lot, John.
Taking your Jerry's time, but we can go into. I think we can go into Saturday with this, Jerry, if you're willing. So you can.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Crack at it.
Because my story is real short. Like I today, right? Like tonight, right? You're talking about. You know, you got leftover stuff like that, and you're talking about enjoyable meals, right? Well, anytime I got to figure out what I got to eat after I get done walking is not going to be enjoyable. So yeah. All my meals are miserable.
Yeah, Jerry, if
I'm going to mute John for the moment, Jerry, to let you talk. I couldn't quite tell Jerry whether you were being facetious or whether you were being honest and accurate.
Well, kind of both, because right now, right? Like I think we talked about last Saturday when we had that long walk. I don't have a plan when I go home to eat. And that's what I need to do. I need to start preparing food for myself and what I'm going to eat and what time. Like, I have nothing. I have no idea what I'm going to eat tonight when I go home. I know I have yogurt. I know I have salad. But then, I know I have steak and chicken in the refrigerator, in the freezer. But then I got to freeze it and I got to make it. Then it's going to be 8 or 9 o'clock by the time I eat. And I'm trying to cut down on eating too late. So that's really what the issue is. So my meal tonight would not really be enjoyable because I didn't prepare it or adequate have time for it to enjoy it. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So.
Well,
but it is 6:30 though.
It's 6:30, all right. Yeah. I was just taking some notes, Jerry. You live alone, right? So you're not, what's her name? Sally is not there and she's not preparing the meal. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Yeah. She has her own house and three adult kids that she lives with. Mm-hmm. And I'm by myself. Right.
Uh-huh.
And we'll get together on the weekends and sometimes on the weekdays. But, you know, but by the time she gets off work, it's 7 or 8 o'clock at night. That's not an ideal situation for me to be eating. Just because she gets off work late.
Right. Okay, so let's just taking tonight as an example, or a typical night, let's say, how often do you eat restaurant food, let's say after a workout or on your way home?
Well, I mean, like tonight would be ideal to swing by and get something to eat if I wanted to. I would say probably 3 times a week, maybe. And that's just like picking up chicken McNuggets, French fries, or Coke, or a fish sandwich, or Kentucky Fried Chicken, you know, a 3-piece chicken with coleslaw, you know, something like that.
3 times a week in the evening, you mean?
Yes, correct.
How about during the day, either morning or evening? I should say morning or night.
Well, like this morning, I got up, I had a coffee, and then on the way to work, I stopped by Taco Bell and picked up one of those breakfast burrito things, and then went to work and didn't have lunch and haven't had dinner yet.
I bet you're hungry.
Well, I'm still walking.
That's laudable, meaning I acknowledge you for being out here. I mean, I would be starved. I don't know how you do it.
Well, I think my body's used to it. And like I said, I think it stores the fat. And I think if I start eating more and sensible, get on a timely fashion. And like I said, when I was eating Jenny Craig, they told me when to eat, what to eat. And it was already prepared. So, like I said, I lost 20 pounds in 2 weeks, but also I exercised a little bit more than what I should have. But like I said, though, that really wasn't sustainable.
It wasn't sustainable to eat that much. I mean, the cost of the food and is what I understand, right?
Yeah, correct.
Got it. Yeah, you need a substitute for Jenny Craig. And I think one of the keys here is you've got to have a plan, I think, for...
Yeah, correct.
That was the first thing you said. You don't really have a plan. You need a plan to prepare meals ahead of time. And have them be, you know, nutritious meals that you enjoy. And so we're just scratching the surface, Jerry. And I mean, I'm jumping to a conclusion that, you know, maybe we'll change a little bit as we get into this. But when I say you need a plan, you know, that's a quick kind of assessment. But you know, a plan where one thought comes to mind, or one question is, you know, do you know how to cook for yourself?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I cook. I cook all the time.
Ah, what do you cook?
Like I said, you know, we cooked on the grill. I cook chicken, hamburgers, meatloaf, pot roast. You know, I make tomato soup sometimes, which, I mean, tomato soup's not very hard, but stuff like that. Salads, I make Caesar salads all the time. But of course, it's all processed food that I buy from the store. Nothing's growing. You know, it's all from the commissary. Nothing comes out of a garden. I don't have a garden. I mean, pork chops, you know, all that good stuff. And also a little bit of time management would help too, because like right now we're walking, right? I still probably got about another half hour or to get back to my car. And then I got to drive home because I'm actually walking on base today because I got off work a little late. So by the time I go to the car, go home, it's going to be 7:30. And do I really want to cook on the grill at 7:30 at night? I can, but do I really want to? So I think that's where the time management comes with the smaller meals during the day. So I'm not eating late at night.
How does that figure? I mean, you're eating several meals during the day, so you don't need to eat as much in the evening. Is that what you're saying?
Well, like I said today, I worked late today. I didn't get time to go home to change clothes. I actually brought my clothes with me. So I never left work. I'm still on the Marine Corps base as we speak, but I didn't want to miss the 5:30. I didn't want to miss the 5:30 walk. So I'm actually on base, changed clothes at the gym, left the car at the gym and walked around the base. Uh-huh. So I think if I would have ate smaller meals during the day, I don't think I'd be craving a big meal at nighttime.
Yeah, that's what I thought I heard you say. Correct. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, part of the problem I think I hear you saying is that you sometimes you work a lot. You can't really break away to eat a meal or certainly not prepare a meal. You're kind of pressed, and at the end of the day, you might end up not having eaten enough. And so you tend to eat too much when you do get home. And so,
right, overeat, I guess. Yeah, correct.
You're not going to eat the things that you really should eat or need to eat because you don't really have the time to prepare when you get
right.
home.
So tonight would be about convenience. Tonight would be convenience on the way home. You know, I live in Kaneohe, so there's a lot of fast food restaurants, McDonald's, Wendy's, Kentucky Fried Chicken, but that's really not what I want. You know,
what do you want?
I know they're not. Well, I think what I'm going to eat, I'm going to probably have some peanuts and some yogurt, and then take a shower and go to bed, hopefully.
Now, peanuts and yogurt, I love peanuts and yogurt. Let's see, though. Let me think this through just a second here. You've got options on the way home for fast food. And my question is,
right,
what do you have in terms of options for better food than that, that might be just as fast? Are you drawing a blank, or can I?
I thought you were thinking about what would be more easier than the fast food was going on.
I'm thinking what would be more nutritious than the fast food things that you said were available. You know, Wendy's, Taco Bell, you know, usual McDonald's.
Well, I think going past them and just going home and take a shower, eat the yogurt, relax, and eat some peanuts, and I think I'll be fine.
Yeah, I understand. I hear you. But I'm thinking that there might be a better alternative because, you know, here's the deal. You haven't had anything to eat today, really. And so you're super hungry, and peanuts and yogurt would maybe satisfy you. And I'm not saying it wouldn't. But I think that you need a more substantial meal. And
yes,
I think you also need a meal that's more nutritious than the alternatives to the fast food restaurant. The one thing that comes immediately to mind is if there's I'm going to mute you for a minute. One thing that comes to mind is a place like Foodland or Safeway, where they have a deli and they serve, you know, pretty good food in the deli. I mean, you know, some better than others probably, but the point is that you could get a fairly substantial meal, you know, that involved, salad maybe and pasta or rice of some sort, or, you know, vegetables of some sort, potatoes, whatever, you know, that would be a good meal and not that fattening, not a lot of meat, because the meat is, let's put it this way, you can have some meat in a sort of the main course from the deli, but not a lot of meat, just a little bit of meat filled in with other things on the side that would be nutritious. Okay, so you tell me now. Talk to me, Jerry.
Yeah, that's definitely an option for me. I mean, they do have a Safeway out here, Brian, which is pretty good.
Well, there you go, Jerry. And it's 6:43 in the evening. I'm going to leave you there, and John, and I'm going to go get a quick snack, and I'm going to take my walk. And I'm looking forward. We can continue talking along this line on Saturday. And I want to bring John in. And of course, I want to bring Kathy and Robert in on along the lines of what we've been talking about, and go from there. You know, I think.
Okay, sounds good.
I think we're making really good progress. And I thank you guys for your participation and your cooperation. It's all experiment and all invention, and I feel really good about it. Thank you very much. Good evening.
All right, Brian. Have a good evening. See you later, John.
I'll say happy evening from John.